Thank you for joining with us here in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in County Fermanagh. Whoever you are listening in online, our prayer is that the Lord's Word will be a blessing and a challenge to your heart this evening. You can listen in online to our ministry of God's Word every Lord's Day. That's every Sunday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. and then also every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Just a few announcements. Do remember tomorrow, the Easter Monday Convention Service been broadcast online from our Martyrs Memorial Church at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. That will also be followed by a children's meeting at 5 p.m. And then just on behalf of our church and congregation here, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to Mr. Ian Edwards' wife and family, and also to Mrs. Hester Dara and her family, husband and family, on the death of an aunt, the passing of an aunt this past week. And we do assure those families and that wider family circle of our prayers and our sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement. Now, before we turn to God's Word this evening, we're going to just seek the Lord in prayer, asking for the Lord's help and the Lord's blessing around the Word of God even this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come afresh before Thee in the through the Saviour's precious and worthy name. And Father, we thank Thee afresh, O God, today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who could say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ died for our sins upon the cross, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And Father, we thank that he purchased pardon for sin, peace, O God, with thee, life everlasting, and grace, Lord, that never fails for all his people, for all who will trust him for salvation. And we rejoice, O God, afresh tonight and night, so great salvation. And we thank thee, O God, for Christ shedding his blood and for dying for our sins upon that cross. And we thank thee that he rose again victorious and that he is alive forevermore, that he conquered death and hell and sin and the grave. And we thank thee, O God, that Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And Father, we thank thee for the great hope of the gospel tonight, that there's pardon and that there's peace for the whosoever will, who will trust the Lord for salvation. And O God, we thank thee for thy mercies and blessings to us throughout this thy day. We thank the Lord for thy presence, for thy provision, and for thy hand of mercy and of blessing upon us. And O God, as we come now afresh to consider thy word this evening, our prayer is, O God, that thou wilt draw near wherever we are listening in online. Speak through thy word to our hearts, and through the going forth of thy word, even, Lord, from this pulpit this evening, that there'll be some soul or souls that will close in with Christ, trust him as their Savior. We pray that believers in the Lord would be blessed and led on with God. We pray that backsliders, Lord, would be restored unto Christ. And Father, we pray that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be honored and glorified. We thank thee for that great promise of Christ when he said, I have I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Again, Lord, we just pray for thy blessing upon thy word, wherever it is faithfully preached and proclaimed, O God, today. Bless each of our sister congregations. And Lord, wherever faithful men stand to minister the word of God, and that are faithful to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word, and that there shall be great rejoicing in the courts of heaven, even over sinners today repenting of their sin and coming to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Again, Father, we pray for mercy upon our land, O God, at this time. We do pray, O God, that in grace thou would be pleased to intervene, O God, and to stop the spread of this virus. We pray, Lord, for those that mourn as a result of losing loved ones through this illness. We pray that thou will comfort their hearts. We think of those that are ill at this time. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to touch them and to spare them and to raise them up. We pray for our medical staff, especially that thou wilt protect them, that thou wilt bless them, that the Lord will be near unto them. Lord, give our medical services great wisdom, and we pray that even, Lord, in thy will, that there might be a vaccine, Lord, made, we pray, that might be able to deal, Lord, with this pandemic, we ask. Again, Lord, we just pray, O Lord, for every family here connected with our church and congregation in Bethel. Bless each household, bless each family member. Keep thy protecting hand upon each one. Watch over them and bless them. And they're going out and then they're coming in. And Father, grant that each and every family circle would know that blessing of household salvation, we pray. We thank thee tonight that thou art upon the throne. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou art one who is sovereign over all. And help us, Lord, in these days in which we live, to keep ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless us now as we turn to thy word. As we read thy word, as we preach thy word, and consider it, Lord, for a season, bless thy truth to every awaiting heart, we pray. We thank thee at the entrance of thy word that it bringeth light. We thank thee that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless thy truth to every heart as thou would see our individual need. Grant us help now, we pray. The infilling and the enablement of God the Holy Ghost, we pray, to preach thy word, O God, we ask. Lord, may we listen into thy word. May we know a gracious sense of the presence of God. Draw very near, O Lord, we ask, and speak to our waiting hearts, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We're turning to Luke chapter 23, and we're reading from the verse 33 down to the end of verse number 46. And I would certainly encourage you in your own home or ever to look up the scriptures, read along with us, and look up the Bible reference as well as we minister God's word. And we're turning tonight to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, beginning our reading at the verse number 33. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged reeled on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, and saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 46. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of God's eternal and infallible word to our hearts. Now, the text of Scripture I want us to look at this evening is that verse 33 of Luke chapter 23. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, the Bible speaks of many famous places. Yes, many famous places in the Scriptures are mentioned. If you think of the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, there you are reminded of the time of God's perfect creation. If you think of Egypt in the book of Exodus, you are reminded there of the time of Israel's captivity for some 400 years. Also, whenever you think of Jericho in the book of Joshua, there you think of the city whose walls came tumbling down by God's power. And then over in the book of 1 Samuel, you hear of the place called Bethlehem. That reminds us of the home of David, the shepherd boy. And then later on over the New Testament, it speaks to us about the very place of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then over in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you read of the Damascus Road. And that, of course, reminds you of the place of Saul's conversion to Christ. Well, in our text here this evening, verse 33 of Luke chapter 23, we are told about a place called Calvary. And this place was a vital part in God's redemptive plan, for it was here that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's sinless Son, the Son of God, was crucified by sinful men. Luke chapter 23 is a chapter that tells you about the final events of Christ's earthly life. It records how he was accused by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and then he was tried by King Herod. And then in response to the wishes of the people, it tells how Pilate passes the sentence of crucifixion upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23 and verse 24 of the chapter, you will see that. It says, "And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required." Following on from that, in verse number 26, it says, "And as they led him away," that's the Lord Jesus, "they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." And then in verse 33, the words of our text, it says, "And when they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And there in our verse, we read of how the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified between two thieves on that hill called Calvary. Now, can I say to you this evening that this is the only time that the actual word Calvary is mentioned in the Scriptures? Indeed, the Hebrew for the word Calvary is the word Golgotha. And in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 33, there we're told how the word Golgotha means the place of the skull. And this would tell you and I that Calvary was the place of public execution. It was the place associated with death. It was the place that was associated with civil judgment. And it is here where the Lord Jesus Christ died to make a way of redemption for sinful man. And it is this place called Calvary that I want you to think about this evening. Yes, this is a place that is central to God's wondrous message of salvation for sinners like you and I through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to see that Calvary was a place of terrible suffering. Yes, terrible were the sufferings of Christ at this particular place. Look at verse 32 of the chapter. It says that he was led there to be put to death. He was taken to Calvary for one specific purpose. It was that he would die. Look at verse 33, our text. It says of Christ at Calvary, it says, "And there they crucified him." The crucifixion was perhaps one of the most barbaric, painful, and indeed shameful of death that any person could ever suffer. Yes, the hands and the feet of the victim would be nailed with spikes to the wooden cross as it lay upon the ground. Then the cross with its victim suspended upon it would be lifted up and allowed to fall into a socket in the ground. And the jolt of this with the weight of the victim meant that their bones were pulled out of joint. Indeed, this is what happened to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You read through Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. It is all about Christ, depicting much of Christ's sufferings at the cross. And in verse 14 of that psalm, Christ says these words through the psalmist. He says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. And then prior to the death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, we read also about his trial. And again, terrible were his sufferings at his trial, and much shame and ignominy was heaped upon him. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and the verses 27 to 30, there you read about his trial. And it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. What sufferings, what shame, what ignominy he endured at his trial. And then when he was going soon to the trial, we're also told in John's Gospel, chapter 19, in the verse 1, it says, then Pilate, that's the Roman governor, took Jesus and scourged him. In other words, whipped him with the Roman lash. His back was whipped with the Roman lash until it became like a plowed field. Then he was led off to Calvary to be crucified, kneeled to that Roman gibbet. Indeed, as he hung upon the cross, John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 34 tells us, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Yes, we can say that his physical sufferings of the cross, this place called Calvary, were awful. Indeed, speaking of the awfulness of those sufferings, in Isaiah chapter 52, in the verse 14, the Word of God says, his visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. My, no one ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. There were his physical sufferings, and then on top of his physical sufferings, there was also his spiritual sufferings. You think of what the Bible says about him on the cross, and Isaiah chapter 53 in the verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, Christ's death upon the cross was also a death of substitution. It was a substitutionary death. And on the cross of Calvary, God the Father smote Christ. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, says Isaiah. And God the Father poured out upon Christ his wrath, that all his people justly and rightly deserved for their sin. Indeed, this is why Christ cries out in verse 46 of Matthew 27, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was following this that he then died and gave up the ghost. Oh, what sufferings Christ endured upon the cross. Dear friend, as you would listen in tonight, remember this, that Christ partook of such awful sufferings out of a love that is beyond all human love. Yes, out of love for sinners like you and like me. The Apostle Paul spoke of this very fact in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, as he speaks of Christ, he says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, He suffered and bled and died to satisfy God's justice, to provide a way whereby you and I could be reconciled with God, to make a way whereby you and I could be saved from the awful ruin and penalty of our sin and hell, to make a way whereby you and I could be fitted out for heaven and everlasting life and glory. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross, the hymn writer says, He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by His precious blood. Indeed, it has been said that the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ rescues us from eternal death, while the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ obtains for us everlasting life. Yes, Calvary is a place of awful suffering. If you would think of that place tonight, oh, see something of the terribleness of the sufferings of Christ, the Lamb of God. Yes, with the words of Lamentations chapter 1 and the verse number 12, it can be said of Christ at Calvary, Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Yes, Calvary was a place of awful suffering. But then in the second place, we can also say that the Calvary is a place of salvation. You see, Luke chapter 23, it tells of the salvation of one of the thieves who was crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 41 of the chapter. That verse there tells of this man's repentance of his sin in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is this man talking to his friend as he is crucified. And he says, And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss. He owns his sin. He acknowledges his sin. He repents of his sin before the Lord. Again in verse number 42, that verse there tells of his faith, of his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For it says, And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was trusting in Christ to save him from his sins. And then in verse 43, there you read of his wonderful reception of eternal life and a place in heaven. For the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to him, and it says, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And there you see how he receives this blessed assurance of everlasting life, of salvation, and a home in heaven. And this assurance comes from the very lips of Christ, who has been crucified beside him at this place called Calvary. Here was a man, and he had not long to live. There was no works that he could do. He could not join any church. He had been a notorious criminal in his day, but at Calvary, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God forgives his sins. God saves his soul from a lost eternity in hell, and God sets him in grace on the road to heaven and the road to glory. That day, this dying thief receives a full and indeed a free salvation from God, because this man put his faith and trust in Christ and in a sacrifice alone for his salvation. Speaking of this very salvation, the hymn writer says, full salvation, lo, the fountain open wide, streams through every land and nation from the Savior's wounded side. What a salvation God offers to sinners. Yes, it has been rightly said that God never saves a spectator. And dear friend, as you would listen in this evening, let me say this, that if you are to experience the blessing of God's salvation, the blessing of God's saving grace in your soul, then like this dying, you too must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You must confess your sins to Him. You must trust in His sacrifice and in His blood alone shed upon this cross at Calvary for the salvation of your soul and for the cleansing away of all of your sins. 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 7, it says there, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's only through the blood of Christ that your sins can be cleansed away. In John chapter 6 and the verse 37, Christ is speaking, and he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My, if you're to be saved, you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins to him, and trust in him alone for salvation. That's the message of the gospel, the message of the Bible. And the Lord in grace is one who calls you to do so. Listen to his great invitation in Isaiah chapter 45 and the verse number 22. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. He calls you to look to Christ, to trust in Christ, to come unto Christ by faith, and to embrace him as your own and personal Savior. You know, it was said that after the American War of Independence, that King George III of Great Britain, that he proclaimed an amnesty to all who rebelled in that revolution, with the exception of John Hancock and a few kindred spirits. Well, you know, in salvation, God is one who promises to save, and indeed promises to pardon all who come to Christ, all who trust Christ as Savior, no matter who they are. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and the verse 17, it says there, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Dear friend, if you come by faith to Christ, to the Christ of Calvary, confessing your need as a sinner, calling upon him for salvation, trusting him as Savior, then you shall be saved. Then you shall receive the wonderful gift of God's so great salvation. Yes, Calvary is a place of awful suffering. It is also a place of salvation. But one final thing I want you to also notice this evening. In the third place, notice that Calvary is a place of separation. Look again at Luke chapter 23 in the verse number 33. Says, and when they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand, one on the right hand and the other on the left. There were two things. One of those was, for verse 39 of the chapter tells how this other thief that he mocked Christ. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. This man did not repent of his sin. This man did not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He rejected him as Savior. And that very day he died in his sin, and he went out into a lost eternity and hell itself. Yes, Calvary for this man was to become for him a place of awful separation. You see, that day he was separated forever from his friend. That day he was separated forever from Christ. That day he was separated forever from all God's people. And that day he was separated forever from God's heaven, that place of everlasting life. Oh, see with me that Calvary is a place of separation. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and in the verse 32 to verse 34, there you read of a great separation that will take place on the day of judgment when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and it is all because of Calvary. This is what it says in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 25. It says, of Christ, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left.
And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then further on down that very same chapter in verse 41 it says this, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The sheep are those who are saved, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, those who are resting on the blood of Christ shed at Calvary for salvation. On the other hand, the goats are those who are unsaved, those who have rejected the Christ of Calvary as their personal Savior. Dear friend, on the great judgment day, let me ask, which group will you be among? Will you be among those in a lost sinner's hell? Will you be found numbered amongst the goats? Or will you be among those who are in heaven, amongst God's sheep in glory? The hymn writer says, Will the circle be unbroken? Will it be complete one day? Will you be with other saved loved ones in heaven? Will you be forever separated from them in hell in the lake of fire? Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, in the verse 34 to 36, Christ there is speaking. I want you to listen very carefully to what he says in these verses. He says, I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Those verses, they highlight the great separation between the saved and the unsaved at the return of Christ. And that separation is all because of Calvary. Calvary is a place of separation. Dear friend, if you are to be with the Lord and His people in heaven, if you are to avoid the eternal separation of hell and the lake of fire, then now in time as a repentant sinner, you must flee to Christ and trust Christ and trust in Him alone for salvation. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 and the verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There he makes it very clear that you can only be reconciled with God and sure of heaven by trusting Him. Think of the words of Christ that He uttered Himself at the time of Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And there is the promise of eternal life for you if you'll trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Whenever Michael Faraday, the Christian scientist, was leaving this world, he was asked by another about speculations after this life, and he replied by saying, I know nothing about speculations. I am resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Because He lives, I shall live also. He was looking forward to heaven. Why? Because his faith was anchored in Christ. There was a time in his life's experience when he trusted Christ, who died for his sins upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, if you are still not saved, then I would urge you even now, today, to trust Christ as Savior. Embrace Him. Reject Him no longer. Then, praise God, heaven will be your hope also. Well, think about Christ coming and dying upon the cross of Calvary. Think about the shedding of His precious blood. Come to Him by faith. And have that blood applied by faith to your heart for the cleansing away of your sin and the salvation of your soul. Thank you for listening in this evening. I pray that God would bless His holy word to your heart for His name's sake. Let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, this evening for Thy presence with us around Thy precious Word. We thank Thee, O God, for this place called Calvary, what it means to every child of God. We thank Thee, Christ, there suffered and bled and died for our salvation, for the pardoning of our sins, for a place in heaven for us. He opened up that way. And we thank Thee, O God, for each one who's been listening in this evening who can rejoice in Christ, what He done for them at the cross and at the place called Calvary. But, O Lord, for any listening in tonight still out of Christ, who have never come to Christ, never embraced the Christ of Calvary, even, Lord, tonight, disturb the sleep of death within their soul, may they choose Christ, may they trust Him, and embrace Him and confess their sins to Him and accept Him by faith to be their own and personal Savior. Bless Your Word savingly, even to some heart or soul this evening, we pray. Grant now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen.